Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Greetings, trashlings. This is space trash, colon.
Now.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus, dot, dot, dot.
Now. And I'm your host, dot, 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 Sarah Armore.
And I'm your other host, colon, Molly Malshine, dot, dot, dot. Now.
Now.
What did you think? Well, okay, wait. Actually, before we get into Jennifer Lopez's documentary. No, it's not a documentary.
No, it's, well.
It's an acid trip.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
This is me. Dot, 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 now, colon, a love story. I have a question for you. Okay.
Yeah.
This is a lot of sports that I'm about to talk about.
I love sports.
Yeah. In I, Tanya, her mom says every relationship needs a flower and a gardener. You know, like, you can't have two flowers. You can't have two gardeners. You need one person who's sort of tending to the other person and the other person who's kind of the star. So this is like my favorite thing to think about all the time. I've only been the gardener like once in my life and it was miserable. Out of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, who's the flower? Who's the gardener?
Well, wow. Okay. So I was prepping myself to answer this for Ben and Jen, but the answer might sort of be the same, which is that I think on the outside, it might appear that she's the flower and that he's the gardener, Taylor, but that I think it's possible he might need some tending to as well. But I guess I think she's the flower. What do you think?
I don't know. Like, I would have thought that she was the flower, but the past week has proven him to be such a ham.
Right.
That
right.
I'm like, this guy likes attention. And like, maybe it's just because, no, it's not just because he just won the Super Bowl, because I've seen Catching Kelce, his dating show.
The fact that, like, he even has a dating show.
Right.
He's, years ago, says it all.
Right. And like, he's really into fashion. He's peacocking all the time. He's kind of a better dresser than she is. He's a better dancer than she is. Like, yeah. I don't know. I think we might have a two flower relationship here, but because also, like, you know, I always want to assume the woman is the flower. But the other thing is, like, I don't think the flower is writing songs about the gardeners that they have dated. Like, writing songs about your partners is big time gardener behavior, don't you think?
Yeah, that's like where my head was at too. Like, when I was thinking about, because it's like, well, he definitely had to, you know, plant some friendship bracelet seeds. Like, he definitely had to
pursue
in, I would say, a traditional masculine role, which I think the flower in Taylor really needed. But I think beyond that, she's such a, not, I don't even want to say control freak, but like, she really is in many ways, I think, wearing the pants in this relationship.
She's the maestro.
Yeah. And like, he's playing his cards right, but like, I sort of think she's always kind of got her pulse on like the bigger picture, or like, you know, what she can, whether it works out with him or not, right? She's going to write songs about it. So she has this sort of like overarching tending to the garden role in all her relationships. So yeah, I think he might actually be more like of a showman than she is. And she might actually be more of a workhorse.
Yeah, I mean, time will tell.
Time will tell. But I mean, okay, but same question though, but for Ben and Jen.
Ben and Jen, I really have no idea. I have to be honest, I have no idea. We don't like for as public as they complain about their relationship being, I don't know a lot about the ins and outs, right?
Right. I feel that way completely. That's why I guess like in my mind, because I thought that's what you were asking, my answer was going to be, I actually think he's more of the flower and that she might be like a very boss bitch kind of like, here's what we're doing today kind of gal. That being said, I think she probably, and rightfully so, needs a lot of encouragement and a lot of like support and affirmation. So, but yeah, I think it is interesting. We really don't know much about their relationship. I mean, even 20 years ago, the only thing really that we knew was that he was like drumming on her butt and on yachts. Like, I feel like I've never really, not that they're like not a favorite couple of mine, but I guess they're sort of not. I sort of don't fully, not that, and they astrologically they're very compatible, they mirror each other, but like there's just something about this relationship that, yeah, it's just hard to picture going on behind the scenes, especially because they have such different lifestyles.
Yeah.
So I just
I do
don't
think
know what it's like behind closed doors.
yeah, and once again we have with this project especially a situation of a male muse and a female creator, which
Right.
to me once again like being the person who is inspired and driven to create art about the other person, that
Right.
to me is a gar
Exactly.
that's a gardener role, even though the performing of it is a flower role. And I also think, like you said, she, like you said with Taylor, Jennifer is the workhorse of Hollywood. Like she works harder than anyone, it seems. And yeah, that is also like very gardener-esque role. When you look at their comments about each other, I read a listicle this morning about everything they've ever said about each other. And the only one who ever said anything kind of snarky during their breakup period was him. Like he said that the Jenny from the Block video was like the biggest regret of his life, which is the video you mentioned where he's drumming on her butt and like literally kissing her ass. So like that is a flower thing to regret. Like if he was a
Right.
gardener, he would be like, I am so happy that I was in like a worshipful position with my woman, but instead he's like, that was painfully wrong and I hate it. So that to me makes me think that he is a little bit more of the flower. Also, since we're talking about two Leos, Leo is a flower sign. There is no like really.
Yeah, well, okay, tell me what you think, but I'm not sure. I just have to get Sean off of this ledge a little, but tell me what, I don't know if I necessarily agree.
I just think Leos love to be adored, and that's what a flower does.
So I think Leos love to be adored, but I also think Leos tend to be, I mean, it's a masculine sign. I think Leos tend to be very performative in nature. Like when it comes to Leo energy, like they're also, you know, they're athletes, they're competitors, they're doers, like they're actively expressing love, and in that way I think Leo contains big gardener energy because Leo is sort of willing to like do that work to keep not only keep a relationship going but to express that love and to turn it into music or to turn it into something. Now, in this case, they're both Leo, so kind of who knows? But I don't know. I sort of feel like all the Leos in my life are very much like actively working to, like, I feel gardened personally by the Leos in my life.
Okay, I've dated at least two Leos that I can think of, and they both wanted to be the flowers, and that I think is why it didn't work out. Like my college boyfriend was a Leo, and he was like such a hater of anything that I actually like wanted to do on my own. Not anything, but a lot of things. Like he was like, you should he like I said to him, I started wanting to do stand up in college, and he was like, but you're not funny.
Oh,
I know. And I still dated him after that. And I was like,
oh, whoa.
Wait, you don't think I'm funny? Why are you even dating me then? Like, that was a very like Leo Flower thing, I think, where he could not even see me as a person who would be like beheld in any way. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, but like, is that a Leo Flower thing, or is that actually just like the comments of like an insecure gardener who like would see you as not being enough because of their own not enoughness?
Yeah, that's probably it. I mean, he was also a serial cheater.
Yeah, so. I mean, so he's out here with the hoe.
Yeah, but yeah, I think with Jen and Ben, I think it's pretty equal, but I think if you had to pick a flower and a gardener, I think he's the flower. Also,
he's the flower.
Yeah, like this whole, so okay, this whole project, it's basically an hour-long music video. I want to say one of the, and this is not a slight, one of the best things about it is that it's only an hour long.
Yes.
It was starting to get a little itchy toward the end.
Thank God it was only an hour long.
Yeah.
I found it actually, I mean, I'm curious about your take. I found it kind of hard to watch.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, I didn't turn it off. I didn't feel an urge to turn it off. I was waiting for an actual banger. I mean, there was not a hit to be found.
Well, like there was sort of like the I'm Still in Love with You remix, but then the place that they put that in the supposed narrative arc didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, but I think, okay, so this whole movie is about her kind of justifying to herself and to the viewer why she got back with him, and that all of these people that she dated in between the two Ben Afflecks, they didn't count. And that was her trying to find herself. And like it started with the myth from Taino culture. Then it's her and Ben on a motorcycle, very Bound to coded, by the
very,
way.
Very, very.
They get in a crash on the motorcycle. I guess they like hit a rock or something. And then she goes through this whole journey. She's literally showing her, like, the thing that's moving the story along is her therapy sessions.
With Fat Joe.
I know.
Which I will say, I thought this piece was saved by cameos. Like, she is so lucky that she has an A-list Rolodex of people to call, because like there was humor in Fat Joe being the therapist, and like, you know, every time you'd see another famous person, it was kind of like fun. Like, oh, what are they doing?
Yeah. So I thought Kiki Palmer was funny.
Right. Like I thought, well, we'll get to it. The Council of Zodiacal whatever's, but I thought, yeah, so the whole thing moving it along, but actually there was also this running through line that like she's working at a heart plant or something.
Oh yeah, a heart factory. But she reveals kind of midway through that kind of all of these, what we call in film school, dream ballets.
Yeah.
They are dreams, literal dreams,
right,
that she's been explaining to Fat Joe. So right. it was a heart factory. But yeah, so it starts with her on the motorcycle with Ben, and it ends with her back on the motorcycle with Ben again. And it's like, okay, we are back on the road to eternal happiness because I had to fuck up with all these other guys and find myself. And the thing that made me, I mean, so, okay, the title is very high school poetry.
High school poetry and, torture department.
Yeah. And then this whole idea is very high school also, because like when you're young and you're first kind of falling in love for the first time in high school and college, you swear, or at least I did, that every person you date is your soulmate, and all the ones before didn't count. And it's kind of something you grow out of. Like now at this point, like she has said in interviews that she only has one love in her life, and it's Ben Affleck. And it's like, what about the father of your children? Like, it's okay to admit that you loved him, because I'm sure you did. Like,
and
I'm sure you loved him.
I'm sure that she did. And I'm sure that, well, and I'm sure that she loved him. Like, I think it's fair to say, like, that there are different, like, types of love. Like, even in interviews past, like, specifically talking about Mark Anthony, she has said that, like, she was so heartbroken. She really wanted to be married with kids. And she, when she does speak highly of him, what she says is like, we're both from the same culture. So when I was thinking about like who I wanted to just settle down with and feel safe and have children with, she was like, you know, it's nice that we come from the same place. It's nice that we both have this Puerto Rican background and that we like are and like he's a big star in Puerto Rico, I guess, and like they just have all of this shared like familial chemistry.
It's good on paper, but I'm sure she felt like she was in love at the time. Like, that's the
Well, and I
thing.
also think she was in love with A-Rod. And I think she was
Yeah.
also in love with that random backup dancer that she started with in the first place.
Right. Like, that's the thing. It's kind of like you, once you're not in love anymore, you
You get over
absolutely
it.
can't. It's like being in pain. Like, you can't remember
Yeah.
anymore. Do you know
Yeah.
what I mean? Like,
Yes. Yes.
if you look back at any of your ex-boyfriends, not even to say something bad about them, you're like, what? Like, why did I like that guy? Not any of them, but a lot of the time that happens to me. And like, it's because the spell has broken. So you can't remember that you were like in love with this person. And it's just kind of like, you're 50. Like, don't you know that that's kind of the thing?
Right.
Like, it's okay that you guys broke up and you both were in love with other people in between.
Right.
Like, I'm sure he was in love with Jennifer Garner, and now they're not, and you guys are, and that's fine.
Yeah, like I felt a little bit weird. Okay, so like first of all, same thought completely where I was just a little bit bothered. Like I don't think that in order to like express whether it's like our love for something or just like that something's your favorite or that I don't think you need to put down one thing in order to make a point about how much you prefer another. Like, I don't think there's any reason, but especially because I'm sitting there thinking about watching the premiere and her children, and she has all these interviews where it's like, my kids are asking me all these questions. And it's like, don't, I would say like just parent number one rule. It's like, don't trash their dad. Like, why
Yeah.
would you do that?
You don't need
And
to. And
you
no
don't
one
need to.
really cares enough that they need you to.
Well, so that this is the other piece to me that, like, so again, on paper and in theory, and I guess in real life, like, there is something extremely romantic. Like, not all my exes, I mean, I think part of why I can be friends with most of my exes now is because the spell has broken. And so then I'm like, oh, we can, like, I don't like hate them, but like, we could be friends.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, there were times when it was like, if I don't have you, I don't want to live. Right. But there's something, and again, could be my own shit, but I feel like there's something a little bit insecure about needing to like continue to like prove to us like this is the one marriage that's for real. I feel like it's putting a lot of pressure on a marriage to previously divorced people multiple times over
Right,
and
like
a
they're not
relationship
gonna.
that already ended once. Like, why put that kind of pressure on it? And who are you proving this to?
Right, it's a little insecure and immature. And
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they're gonna be together till they die, and that's fine.
It's just like if they aren't, then is she now like fucked for life because she has made it known that there's only, despite the love addict she might be, there's only a place in her heart for one, Ben Affleck. Affliction. She has an affliction, which is Ben Affleck. I don't know. But like, I just feel like you're setting yourself up for a really weird. Either the relationship works and they're together until they die, which I think she's a little bit. It felt a little bit like with this, she was trying to be like, now you better not leave me ever again. Like, it's like you can't
Oh,
actually,
do you think
like,
so?
a little bit. Yeah. Like, I think she's trying to put her love in sort of like a safe deposit box, but by way of making it totally fucking public and like owning it so completely that it would almost be like he would be guilty to leave again.
So I know you probably loved the Zodiacal Council, which
I actually
had.
have to be honest, I hated it.
You hated it?
I hated it.
Why?
Okay, a few things. Thing number one is that I guess, like, on a personal note, like, perhaps I was personally triggered. I'm just a little triggered these days when everyone all of a sudden, not that I like don't wish astrology upon the masses, I do, but I just got so much industry feedback years ago where it was like, yo, can you hear Romy? Do not make another sound. I'm gonna be done soon. I got so much feedback that was like, this is never going to be like mainstream. Don't talk about this. And if anything, like I've also tried to sort of like write in the vein of the spiritual or try to be, there's just something about it that it actually like takes away from what I find to be true. And like, especially like we all like get into astrology, like it, on some level, because of like relationships and stalking boys or whatever. There's something about it that almost, like, how do I put it? Like, made it too like stupid to me, where it was
Yeah,
like,
but
no,
what
there
is.
actually is power in because the whole thing was like, I guess like that the whole thing to me felt just like extremely, for something that is like an acid trip, like a meta acid trip, it was so on the nose. Everything about it was so on the nose. From like the Heart Factory dreams to
Yeah, there
like,
was no subtext.
there was no subtext. And yeah, I like that we know that she's like into astrology, but like even the way she was like it was like Libra was like, one of the first like guys who like it didn't work out with. And it's like, and then it's like, well, gee, Leos and Libras are really supposed to be great together. And it's like, wait a second, like, yo, like if you're gonna have a zodiacal council, first of all, I want you to mention anything about like, mention moon signs, mention like, I just, this whole like blanket like a Libra should be this, but this Libra was this. It's like, okay. And then I also thought that,
Wait, can I say something?
yeah.
I think our podcast is also pretty, dumb.
Oh, for sure, dumb. I mean,
And
you have us on record for that.
I don't think this J-Lo movie is mainstream. I think it's pretty weird. I don't think that many people are going to watch it. I don't know why I have the hiccups. I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I don't know. I can't explain it. There's just something that like felt like she was using it as a way to the whole thing, like even the dreams.
I think you were personally triggered.
I was the whole thing. And like the other thing that really, well, okay, back to the Zodiacal Council. The other thing is that like I didn't feel like the signs were actually doing a very good personification of the archetypal character of that sign. I also
Yeah, they weren't
thought
at all. And there
at
was no
all.
Capricorn and no Aquarius.
Right. Like, and the funny thing is like the release of this movie or whatever it is premieres while we have this procession of planets moving into Aquarius opposite her Leo, and the moon is in Taurus opposite her moon in Scorpio. So like, to me, like if you're gonna do astrology, I don't care if we're, I love dumb. Have me on record, put dumb on my gravestone. But I feel like it's not that it was like dumb, it's that like it actually didn't illuminate anything other than like, this like idea that like she has this like council of like zodiac signs, like, oh, looking out for her and like trying to send her signs. And it's just like the signs were too, so you're really out here looking for a sign? It's like, bitch, we all are. Come on. Like, as if that's like some kind of, I don't know. And like, yeah, if you're gonna do astrology, have the characters be like in integrity to the archetypes and have all of them. Right. Where was Aquarius? Where was Capricorn?
I did not share your dismay with the Zodiacal Council. I thought it was just kind of cute and stupid. I don't know. I was like, whatever. This is like,
I didn't like it.
it was a vehicle for cameos, like you said.
Right.
One thing that really annoyed me was there was no reason for her to have a Zodiacal Council and a group of friends.
Right.
And I
Correct.
watched, like, just from a writing standpoint, and I watched the whole thing with subtitles and. All of the friends were supposed to be archetypes. Like one of them was named the Cynic, and
Right,
another one was,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
and it's like, well, that's what you should have done with the signs, the
Or
zodiac signs.
I was thinking that if you were going to do it that way, then they should be the same people. Like it should be like
Yes.
this person's representing Virgo, and then in real life they're the perfectionist. And then this
Yes.
person's representing Cancer, and then in real life they're the sad sack. Or I mean, I thought I'm joking. I'm a Cancer. No, shout out to my Cancers. I'm not actually making fun of us. But like I would like that's what I would have liked
Yeah.
to see. So there was some connection to it all. But otherwise, right? Why have two choruses?
Yeah, exactly. It didn't make sense, but whatever. It's not a big deal. There is no Libra in her dating history.
I was thinking that, okay, I was thinking, because I was trying to be like, okay, well, then who are you trying to like, who is this? And then I'm like, oh, is this her like minuscule attempt to be like, it is fictional? Or
Well,
it's like, okay.
here's the thing. Apparently, allegedly, she famously doesn't like to work with Virgos. So if she hates Libras, like one hypothesis that I read online, I think it might have been on, it was either Us Weekly or today.com. They both did great coverage of this. They were saying that maybe the Libra is a stand-in for Virgos because Mark Anthony was a Virgo and she hates Virgos. And she
See
says in the movie that she hates Libras.
She doesn't hate Virgos. The entire Zodiacal Council was comprised of Leo, of Virgo actors.
Oh, really?
Keke Palmer, Virgo, Post Malone, Virgo Moon. I believe Jane Fonda, Virgo. There was another one in there that I noticed. That stood out to me where I'm like, I didn't even know that she has a problem with Virgos, hypothetically. But first of all, everybody who's into astrology, hint, hint, you guys, like, listen up. If you are going to even play that game, then if anything, it should have been like, I hate, if she really hates Virgos, which she clearly doesn't, every cameo was a Virgo. But if she really hates Virgos, then it would have been like Pisces or like a different earth sign. But there are no signs di more different than the one that comes right after the previous sign. Like Virgo moving into Libra, these are two signs that are incongruous. They are not similar.
And doesn't Leo move into Virgo?
Leo moves into Virgo.
So that's why she is now doing this. You know, it was like revisionist history that she never liked Mark Anthony kind of thing, you know?
Totally. And I also think, for the record, she really liked A-Rod too. And I think that, like, she, I just, again, I don't like the idea that you need to, like, bash all of your relationships, like, in order to prop the one that you're in again up. Like, it doesn't need to be like that. Like, even if, like, and I'll say this, even before she and Ben got back together, in her autobiography, I do know that she does count that breakup as the heartbreak of her life. She does talk
Which
about
one?
how I think she wrote This Is Me book or something. She wrote a book, and
Wait,
because I
which
saw
breakup?
the Ben
Okay.
1.0 breakup, that was the heartbreak of her life. And she does talk about how she was kind of like rebounding with Mark Anthony, which I don't know, I guess at least in book form, it's a little bit more intellectual in nature, where it's like, okay, we understand that your real perspective when it comes to just wanting to find someone to have children with. And she also compliments him a great deal too, even though she still was not over Ben. But even like then, like they're launching into the song, like rebound, rebound, this is just a rebound. And I was just like, I felt so like, oh, like,
You don't have kids with a rebound.
right. And don't, and if you do, you never tell them.
Yeah,
Like,
you don't say
what
it.
the fuck? Like, I
Yeah.
just feel like it was a little bit like, and the other thing too that keeps bothering me is in interviews, she keeps being like, look, nothing like this has ever been done before. But I'm like, Lemonade is just a better version of this. Lemonade did this.
My exact thought. Yeah. It's like, because I was thinking, okay, maybe because, yeah, it didn't really. I was a little bit like, this isn't 100% working for me. And then I was thinking, what hour long extended music video would? And then I was like, oh, Lemonade famously was
And
incredible.
it already has worked for me. I've watched it more than once. And it's also like, it's a little bit like for J-Lo to say, like, for her to ha have so much trouble trying to explain to us, like, ultimately, w the word she was searching for was like concept video. Like, it was an album video. Like, the whole thing went with this album.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. And then she's like, it's just a mix. Like, it's a little bit rom-com. It's a little bit sci-fi. It's a little bit action. It's like, that's what Lemonade is.
That's what a music video is
That's
too.
what a
Yeah.
music video is, right? Like,
Yeah, it's sort of a really weird, surreal kind of thing. And you just linked a bunch of music videos together, basically. One of the things she says in therapy with Derek, the only one I recognized was Derek Huff and the other husbands. She says to one guy, being with you feels like home, but I left home for a reason. And I was like, okay, that's a pretty great line
but
like that.
that, if anything, that's Mark Anthony, not coded in anything.
But like, so doesn't Ben Affleck, if you're going back to the same person that
Right.
you were with before, it kind of makes me think that that person probably feels like home to you. And like, does your husband right now not feel like a comfort zone? It's kind of, I don't know. I wanted to hear
Yeah.
more about that. I wanted to hear, why is Ben Affleck not home to
Well,
her?
that's where I, when we're, what a great way to begin the pod, but like, I think when we're talking about like gardener versus flower, the more we talk about it, the more it's crystal clear to me that he is. It's almost like the flower is her fantasy of, not that they're not really married, but like the flower is this like romantic story that she keeps telling herself and us over and over and over again, like it's her, and it like she's made it her literal job. And I just feel like, especially reading too, that like Ben really like told her not to do this. Like, everybody told her not to do it. It's like, well, I don't
Yeah.
know. Like, it doesn't seem like I felt awkward for her after reading that Vanity Fair article, because they just felt sort of like, but we all know that even the whole cast was like, we don't think this is good. Like,
Yeah, we need to
I
read
don't
some
want to
of
know.
we need to read some of these. First of all, also, I keep forgetting to say this. This thing was $20 million.
I know that was
I'm like, what?
why.
Send it to Gaza. 20 million?
Seriously though,
Why?
like, and well, the one piece of it that I appreciated was that nobody, I think the one charming thing is that like nobody would finance it, and so she was like, fuck it, like this is my heart song, I'm gonna finance it myself, which on the one hand I found to be hopeful, because it was like, hey, even Jennifer Lopez like gets turned down for financing her movie. But then it was like, whoa, like I just feel like I want to introduce you to like a bunch of young directors who like probably could have done it for like t 200,000 max. Like, you don't,
I know.
and I guess like the
Well, there
reason
was a
I
lot
got
of
defensive was
CGI.
I was just gonna say all the CGI, and there was like explosions and like, but like, yeah, it's like a little bit, I don't think we need to know that.
Yeah, I was
I
watching
don't want
Jersey
to know
Shore
that.
today. I was watching Jersey Shore today, which cost $12 to make, and it
Right.
was 9,000 times more compelling and funny and interesting than this. You know, I mean, I don't know. So, okay, let me read some of the quotes. She says, "Everybody thought I was crazy, and by the way, I thought I was crazy." Ben Affleck says, "If you're making a record about it, that seems kind of like telling it because
Yeah.
it's
Well, because that was her thing. It was the greatest love story never told. And it's like, well, first of all, there's an album.
yeah. Oh my God, wait, they made a making of documentary that's coming out also.
Okay, that I'm more interested in than the actual film itself.
Me too. That's gonna
Yeah.
be good. I'm definitely gonna
I
watch
hope that
that.
it's just everyone being like, are you sure?
Yeah. Yeah. It says also, Affleck said, this is from the Vanity Fair piece. Affleck said publicizing private details of their story, quote, was something of an adjustment for me. What pri There were no private details in here.
That's what I find to be really weird about the whole thing, because like it, everybody, even like in the interviews, I keep saying, they're like, you just went from J-Lo to Jennifer. Like, how does it feel to like expose Jennifer for the first time? And it's like, wait, I thought that a bunch of those fucking wedding planner rom-coms were in a way more like actual Jennifer than that. Like, yeah, there's no detail of your, I guess like what they're describing or what they're talking about is like the details of like how like her heart broke and like came back together. But like it was, if anything, yeah, there was not a single really recognizable part of Ben in any of this.
Yeah, and it all just felt like revisionist history
Yeah.
of like, I'm having my Ben Affleck relationship bookend this because it's the only real good loving relationship and all the other ones are fake. And it's like, no, but we watched all the other.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
other ones. Like, what are you talking about? It's like when you're like acquaintances with someone who keeps posting on their Instagram a new boyfriend every 2 years, who's and they're like, you're the one, you're the love of my life.
Straight up.
And you're like, wait, but I know that you're going to break up with someone. And like, and that's fine. But like, stop telling us this.
Well, but
unless,
I
don't know. I guess it's part of the fun, maybe, for some people. I don't know.
No, I think that that's why this, with the album should have just been what it was. I feel like that's why this strikes me as sort of insecure, because instead of it being like her wanting to share like the truth about her feelings, it's a little bit of like a, I know what you're all saying about me. The only thing that rang like a true about the narrative was that everyone was like, J-Lo, you're addicted to getting engaged. You're addicted to getting married. You're a love addict. You literally are obsessed with being in a relationship. Why can't she be alone? A la like the beginning of Yes, Yes and Ariana being like, everybody thinks the internet is real. It's like, it felt like that was the thing that this was like, to me, the kernel of this film, not even the album, but the film was almost like responding to the haters instead of actually being an expression of love.
Yeah, for sure. I think maybe she's also kind of coming out of the closet as a love addict in this film. Like, maybe she actually has been to those groups and everything. And even that, I'm just like, that is truly the tamest thing you could be addicted to. Like, God bless. Who cares? It's like, I'm addicted to crayons. It's like, what? Come on. You're okay. It's fine. You didn't need to. It's like, good for you. So her producing partner said, here's what I think. I think she might have told people to go out and say that they were like, wow, this is so shockingly personal as a PR move. Because here's what her producing partner says. I was worried. Why are you sharing your story? It's too personal. Stop it. It made me uncomfortable for her. When asked whether she came around to the concept, the partner bluntly declared, no, she never won me over. I was petrified the whole time. Like, this is definitely that J-Lo has approved. Jane Fonda says, she approved that comment or that sentiment, at least. Yeah. Jane Fonda says, I want you to know that I don't entirely know why, but I feel invested in you and Ben, and I really want this to work. However, this is my concern. Like, it feels too much like you're trying to prove something instead of just living it. That's true. You know, other photograph is the two of you kissing and the two of you hugging.
Well, it's actually him scowling for the most part.
I don't know. But I think that's just his face, you know. It's funny. I like those pictures of them.
Yeah.
I think
Jane Fonda, I just want to say correction. Jane Fonda is not a Virgo, but there was a lot of Virgo in that council, and I will let you know who they were.
What is Jane Fonda?
Jane Fonda is a, we love to see it, Sag Sun,
what?
Capricorn rising, moon in Leo.
I knew she had to have Capricorn in there somewhere.
She's very Capricorn Leo to me.
Yeah.
Yep. But also Sag.
What did you think of Ben Affleck being like a Fox News Donald Trump person with prosthetics? It was really weird.
I thought it was weird in comparison to how personal everyone was talking about it. Like, if you're going to talk about how much this is exposing about their relationship, to have him play like a clown, it was fun for me to watch, because I actually think Ben's a good actor, and like when you realized it was him, it was sort of fun. It was like, oh wow, he's doing a part. Why? Not sure. Maybe if anything, because he was like, look, this is actually too cringe for me to be Ben in, but like, I will do, like, I'll be supportive on set and I'll like be part of it, but like, couldn't I just play someone completely unrecognizable? Like, that's why it just feels weird to me, like, for him to play this like throwaway Fox News shill was like, was it an Easter egg? Or we also used to be like, we found Ben. Right. I just think it's so funny that they're like, the whole thing is about Ben. And it's like, is it? It is? If anything, it's about her experience. And even like what you're saying, like, she's admitting she's a love addict. It's like, no, everyone's been saying that to her this whole time. And she just maybe is saying like, yeah, okay, I guess you're right. If anything, or yeah, I've been in therapy. It's been said before. Like, I know. But either way, like, love addict aside, like, this is the love. This is the love that switches it out of addiction back into normal love. And it's like, what? I don't know if a love addict's narrative story actually ends with them in a relationship, hypothetically. Wouldn't the protagonist's journey of a love addict be that they learn to be okay on their own?
Right. Do you think that in real life people had an intervention for her love addiction? I don't think anyone would ever do that.
I think like maybe her like mom and her sister might have been like, Jen, you're embarrassing us. But like, no, I don't think there was ever like a, even that's like sort of like a fantasy piece too, where it's like, I have friends and it's like, do you do?
But she also, I know, she also in her halftime documentary, she kind of says that she alludes to her mom having been like pretty distant and like not really being that maternal. And she says in this movie that, like, when she's talking to her inner child, that she didn't get enough love as a
Right.
kid. So I don't know. If I was her mom, I'd be like, what the fuck?
But it's also just like it like and I'll say like cinema does and it's music in cinema too, my favorite things. Like I found myself feeling emotional at that part, but also annoyed. Like I was emotional because like the craft of filmmaking was like working on me in terms of my heartstrings being tugged. But then in my mind, I was like, you like, I get it's just like this idea that this was like so personal. It's like, it wouldn't take a rocket scientist or even a PhD or even a professional to recognize that it's highly possible that someone who as an adult is experiencing, you know, serial monogamy or love addiction in whatever way, probably didn't feel like they were like loved up enough as a kid. I just think it's sort of like you don't need a DSM for that. It's like, yeah, like that makes sense. Like
Yeah.
as if we were
And
like, oh, that's it. That's what's been going on this whole time. It's like, no, we could have probably guessed that.
yeah, totally. Do you think Ben Affleck has cringe from this? I think
Yes,
he might.
hard yes.
Yeah. So here's what she says. Ben told me you're gonna write it and then you're gonna film it. I don't know why that's a great. Oh, it was, wait, this is really funny. She told Variety it was Affleck who guided her through the filmmaking process. Ben told me you're gonna write it and then you're gonna film it. So that's how he guided her through the
Well, I'll tell you
filmmaking.
what that makes me think is that he didn't want to give her any actual like feedback or opinion, and he really didn't want to be a part of it. He was just like, okay, she wants to do this. I'm a supportive guy, like write it, film it. And then when she's like, but I've never directed anything, Ben, when, I think I could see her being like, how does a shot list work? And him being like, here's how we start to think about. Like, I think that might have been something that they did actually connect on, where he was like, I can work with her in terms of like almost like from a coaching perspective. Like, I can't write the movie for you. This is what you want to make. But like, I will, as your Academy Award winning director husband, I'll be here by your side to remind you like what it means to be a director and like how the filmmaking process works. But
Yeah,
like,
couldn't
I
he
think
have
that's him saying
directed
like,
it? Couldn't he
right.
have helped
Well,
more?
yeah, if he wanted to, that's sort of what I'm saying. Like,
Yeah.
I think he was like, this will be your thing, but it's like, but it's about us.
So then it says Lopez added that after Affleck watched her magnum opus, he said, "You made a movie for you. You made a great movie. You did it."
That's I.
You made a movie for you is the worst possible thing you could I could ever hear. Or like, you did that stand-up set for you. I would jump off a
No, like
bridge.
quit comedy. Like maybe your XX was right. Like
Yeah.
really going, whoa. Right. If someone's like, I'm glad that you got what you need. Well, but it's like again, like from a like clinical or coaching perspective, you know, even when you see the memes, there's lots of memes that are like make art for yourself. And like in return, it will be for others as well because of the, you know, you know, oftentimes the specific ultimately is the universal. And the more
Yeah,
specific
plenty
we
of
get,
times,
but like
though,
it's.
people make art just for themselves and it sucks ass. That's what
Well,
that meme
right.
also needs to have a postscript.
Well, right. It's like basically like don't worry about whether it's good because it might not be good. But like I feel like, yeah, like that for that to even be the quote from Ben just to me feels so awkward because if this whole thing is her, like, it just feels like a lot of like proving to me and like telling us what it is without it. Like, I don't know if you watched that, if you watched it start to finish without reading any of the press or knowing anything about her, I don't know if you'd be like, this is about John and Bond.
Right.
I
I don't think I
don't
would be
think
like,
so.
I wouldn't be like, this is the most personal thing I've ever seen. The whole thing was CGI. Like it's got sort of
Right.
a removed effect because of that. It was so unreal. It's like the sphere callback from Super Bowl episode.
But
it's
like,
where's the grass?
Right. That's exactly right, though. Wow. What a nice callback. That is exactly right. Right. It's like, it's cool. It's cutaway worthy. But then when you actually look at it too much, you're like, what is this and why? And it's robotic and it's just expensive.
And what's a heart factory?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I guess that's where, you know what it reminds you of a little bit?
Wait, before we move on, can I just tell you this last quote?
Oh, yeah, please.
She says, honestly, I don't care what happens now. That is the biggest kind of compliment that I could get. So you made a movie for you. You made a great movie. You did it. That was the biggest kind of compliment that she could get from Ben. I think we can close the case on this one. She is the gardener.
Absolutely. Actually, yeah. Wow. Yeah. If there was ever a definitive statement as to whose role is what, he's not doing the best watering. I'll tell you what.
Yeah. Like he is literally standing there just, you made a movie for you. You made a great movie. You did it. Bare ass minimum. I mean,
right. Like, I can't believe that is what she is pleased to share as it feels like heartbreaking to me in some way, because I'm like, she's kind of going out of her way to just really like rub it in our face. Like, not only is she healed, but this relationship is the one, and it always has been. Don't get it twisted. It's always been the one. And I mean, if anything, what's really painful is like, it kind of makes me think like, well, because like there's a difference between, especially in like first loves, like those first heartbreaks where you really like don't feel like you're ever going to get over it. But oftentimes, kind of what you were saying earlier, like the heartbreak is the hardest part. But like, if you're anything like me, they do ultimately circle back around. And then you go like, oh my God, this is like the thing that I wanted him, that I was praying and manifesting and studying astrology so that I could get him to say. And now it's like, whatever, 6 years later, and he's like, I fucked up. And then you're like, yeah, you did. But like, thank God you did. Like, it's sort of like the heart. I think she's less stuck on Ben, and it was the heartbreak that she was stuck on. So then this fantasy emerged of like, what if like that heartbreak could just get like lifted somehow? And it's like, well, okay, you can get back together. But like, even if we all act out of character sometimes, especially after a big heartbreak, at the end of the day, like, I mean, I remember the news reports from that time being like, Jen and Ben are fighting because she's like disgusted by his chain smoking, and that like she's upset that he's in the nightclub with strippers every night and that he's drinking every night. Like, she does not drink, she does not smoke, she does not, like, those problems didn't go anywhere. He's still him. And you could call it the media that tore you apart, but it's like, I don't know. It feels like it probably was more than that. I think you're right that, like you said on the Patreon, but like, it seems sort of like, right, she got dumped and then never really let it go. Because I don't think Jennifer likes to lose. I don't think Jennifer likes to not get what she wants or come out on top or whatever. So I feel like she was always like holding on to that.
But she made a whole documentary about losing in award season, Hustler's year. Like, if she didn't like to lose, she would have burned that footage. You know, like, if she has enough money that she could have burned that footage, or that she could have taken out that side of it and made the whole documentary halftime be about only the halftime show. Like, I'm sure they had enough footage for that. So I think that her thing is not, I think she just wants people to see how she's grinding. Like, I think she wants people to even see how she's grinding in her relationships. Like, she wants people to know that she's been doing work. She made a whole movie about, like, it's the thing that moves it along is the therapy appointments with Fat Joe. It's like, first of all, how navel gazing? You can't possibly come up with a more self-absorbed construct than that. But she made a movie about doing the work on herself. Halftime was about doing the work to like still not get recognized. I don't think it's about winning for her. I think it's more about like, I'm here, I'm still doing this. And that's why ultimately she is a gardener.
Right. And I also feel like, if anything, like, think that's true about the halftime example, except that I also think there's a part of her that, okay, she's not going to win or even get nominated for Hustlers. But I think part of what is, it can be charming, and it is why she, like I feel I like her and I feel for her and I want
Yeah,
to like
same.
her so much and
I love
I
her.
love her. Right. Like I like have love for her. Like I love her. But it's like even with that with halftime, it's almost like she's like breaking our hearts with it a little bit. Like, okay, and here I go again, like not even nominated, not being recognized. Like, but I am still grinding. Right. Even when Ben has other quotes about her, he's like, she's the hardest working person I've ever met, which like is a compliment to some degree, but like, I don't know. I don't feel like it's the biggest compliment, like
No, I don't think that would be Nick's
at
first thing that he
all.
would say about me.
Well, I
Well,
mean,
I don't have a
we're
job
not
right
the
now, but
hardest workers, but
even
we're not on the
when I
schedule for the
was,
freaking dumb podcast. I mean, lol, but like,
no, even when I was working really hard all the time, I don't think that's what would have been like top of mind when, if you asked Nick, like, he definitely was impressed that I had like a cool job when we met, but he wasn't like, and she worked so hard. Like, that's such a
right.
weird thing for a lover to say about another lover.
Well, and I also think it's sort of like a little bit like it is a compliment because it's like a great quality to have. Like to contain strong work ethic is something I admire and
Yeah.
I long for that, a little bit of that. But I also think it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know, like especially in this business, even if it's not true, don't you want someone just to say like she's a natural, like she just like has the magic at her fingertips? It's like if you work hard enough, you could still be here in your 50s, get the guy back, and still not win any damn awards. It's like,
I
wh
know. Why does she have to work so hard?
right? And
She.
for what?
I know. I don't think I know because that's the other thing in halftime. Like, I know that probably wasn't the focus of the documentary, but if I made a documentary about my life, I would damn well be showing that I have friends. I would be
That's
like,
what it's like.
guys,
Oh,
come
but do
over. We gotta have a friend scene. I need the world to know that I have friends. You know what I
maybe
mean?
that's why she doubled up in this film where she was like, I have two groups of friends.
And one of them is in heaven.
Yeah. They're in the cosmos, my cosmic friends. Like, okay.
It's just not a romantic compliment, the work thing, but also
It's
like
not.
I just love watching her dance. I love her body.
I
It's
mean, her
so
body is incredible.
it's inspiring to me. Like it makes me happy that I actually am like the one thing I take time to do every day is work out because I'm like
Seriously,
you could like it
you
I don't
could look
know.
like that in your 50s. No, it is
I won't look like
aspirational.
that, but I will
Well, you
look
look like
like
your version, the Irish Catholic version of a mommy, but like mommy, MOMMY. But like, but it's like, yeah, like she and like she really is gorgeous. Like even in the scenes where you might be thinking, or I guess what maybe was thinking, like, are these outfits like age appropriate? Not that I'm even one for age appropriateness, but it's like when she shows up, like, you know, with like a puffy jacket on and like bangs, or it's like, but she looks so great. I
I
mean,
love it.
not know that she, if you were just watching this movie and someone said, how old do you think she is? I would say 29.
Oh yeah, and also I thought of some subtext. Her bangs grow out as her personal journey
Oh,
continues.
right.
Yes, yes, yes,
You're
yes.
right. Okay, but that's also not anything. I
I
mean,
liked it because I'm growing out my bangs.
right, but also like then it was a really short time, like within the year my heart was healed and I had done all the work on my love addiction, and then within the year I got married four times and divorced. It's like it's too much, like,
Let
but
me tell
like
you, that is how long a year feels when you are growing up.
okay. And when you're going to therapy with Fat Joe and trying to deal with like I don't have
I
enough
would go to
love
therapy if Fat Joe was my therapist. I
for
think me,
sure.
well, see, therapy, I never have hit it off with a therapist.
Right.
I have had a man once, but I think I need a Fat Joe type of man.
I mean, if anything, I hope this is truly an invitation to everybody who maybe didn't see themselves as therapist type before to throw your hat in the ring and go heal the people. We
Yeah, like
need you.
I kind of need like a, oh yeah, this is what I need. I need like a tough guy who seems emotionless, but then he actually is like, yes, Molly, here's your permission to
Right.
go into all of your, like that I think would really resonate.
Right, even just a guy being like, I care about your dreams.
Yeah,
It's healing
yeah.
in some way. Oh, you do? All right.
Yeah, father figure of some
Yeah.
sort.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, I never mind. I was gonna make a stupid joke. I was thinking
Well,
like
unfortunately, tough guys don't become therapists, so.
yeah, until now. She has no idea what the long-term impact of this piece will be. But
Yeah.
I guess
I
like
love the, that you keep calling it a piece.
I don't know what to call it. Like, it's like,
because
it's not
you know
a movie.
That it's a piece. To, like, she would be so happy piece. To hear you call it a piece.
Oh, yeah. Because she's like, I don't even know what it is. It's like, well, no, it's a big music video for your album. But like,
you actually have to know what it is. That's why no one wanted to fund it, because you didn't have a lot of line.
Even like, I was reading an interview today where she was basically saying, like, so then, like, when they all turned me down for funding, because they were like, this is just too wacky, Jen. She actually was like, so then I had to actually, like, write the script to get the funding. And it's like, for Jennifer Lopez to have to put pen to paper in a very literal way before they get she gets funding for it, it's like, they're not going to fund it. Like, they were going to fund it if they were going to fund it, and not because you, like, wrote it down now. It's like, you're Jennifer Lopez. Like, this isn't, like, proving a... Like, you know what I mean? It's like you're Jennifer Lopez and you're married to Ben Affleck. Like, you guys hypothetically could make something really good. But, like, the fact that Ben wasn't even, like, more behind her on this, and, like, if Ben was attached in a different way, she might have gotten funding. Like, I think.
Oh, she would have gotten funding in 3 seconds. Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck working together on a movie about their relationship. Oh, my God.
Right. Like,
but I guess because of Gigli, they'll never do that again.
Maybe, but, like, isn't that sort of the point of the thing, which is, like, hey, don't let one heartbreak, and, you know, be the end of the – come back, do your work, and then come back and try again, you know? Like,
I do you feel know like what it, else? Their first round of going out was not that long. They met and got engaged in 2002.
Right.
And they called off their engagement in 2004. They broke up.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't long.
It was not long.
Like, no, and it was like a typical, they met like on Gigli doing Gigli, which is like how a lot of that's like PR relationships start.
Right. Like the amount of time it took for post-production, they already kind of were ready. They were kind of done by the time the movie came out. They broke up a little while after that.
Yeah. It's, I mean, and I'm happy for them just in terms of like, I love like, if the door is still a little bit open and they're both hitting each other up, it's like, it's great. Like, that's beautiful. Try again. But like, let's, I don't know. Yeah. To pretend it's something that it wasn't, or to pretend that what she's been doing since then, or that what it is now is anything but, and continues to be, which I think in general relationships are to whatever degree, but like it is, it's the whole thing does feel like a labor of love. Like, this does not feel like effortless or like, easy.
Yeah,
this feels like kind of, and I hate to even say because I love her, but it, like, there is something a little like, I don't know, like forced about it, like and
yeah.
I think she was really trying to trap him with this. I think she was like, now we can have her pop.
I don't think so. I think she's just so okay. Here's what I think. I the only time I ever tried to like sell a love story with someone I was dating was when I accidentally made out with him while I was still dating the guy I was dating before.
Okay, Lord.
So, like I did that.
You
and
were
then,
doing a little gymnastics to try to make it right in your mind.
Right, exactly. I broke up with the first guy the next day. Like, I didn't carry on. I didn't, like, all we did was make out, but still not okay. But I broke up with the real boyfriend the next day, and then I started dating guy number two. So I became obsessed with like proving that we were star-crossed lovers and that it like,
right, like it had to happen that fast because like nothing's ever felt so real.
Right. And like I probably had to date him because I made out with him on my old boyfriend and like I felt guilty about it. Do you know what I mean?
100%.
So this movie kind of makes me think that I just remembered I made out with him twice. Oops. And one of the times.
But it was okay because it was true love.
This is part of the reason why I stopped going to therapy. I should say this for the Patreon, but I'm going to put it out here. I made out with him the first time, and I was going to therapy at that time, and I went to the therapist the next day, and I was, like, sobbing, and I was like, I can't believe I did this to my boyfriend. This is so terrible. Like, I have to tell him. I have to break up with him. And the therapist was like, no. She was like, just don't hang out with that guy again. He just got you drunk and took advantage of you.
Whoa.
And I was like,
Oh.
I know. I was like, I got myself drunk. Thank you very much.
Right. Way and to take like, away all of your, like, your personal power in one swoop.
Right.
And then like, blame someone else.
She was like, it was his fault. You don't have to tell your boyfriend. Don't worry about it. And I was just like, what? And then like 3 months later, I did it again. And I was like, okay, I have to break up with this guy. This is so fucked up. Like,
right. Well, I mean, I think that that's the funny thing too. Like, instead of the therapist actually addressing what, as an amateur therapist sitting on the Zoom with you, but I am a life coach, but it's different. But my question would be like, not like you're such a bad, I wouldn't let you like go down the path of like, you're such a bad person, but I would inquire like, How serious are right? How serious are you about your boyfriend? It seems like maybe if you were
you don't
this
like
flip
him.
about it, right, that the relationship should end. Like, I would bring you to that conversation, not like just don't hang out with the other guy again. It's like,
Yeah.
Well, but there's gonna be other guys for the record. Like, everybody, lots of hot people out here in my 20s. Like, come on.
I know, I was like 23.
It's like, yeah, like he's not the one. Get it, like,
yeah.
Get it out of the way. End it. And let's
I
not
know.
pretend that it's going to be who wraps back around in the end. This isn't the thing.
Yeah.
But that's
So,
why I even hate Ben's quote where he's like, I fell in love with Jennifer. It's like, if he thought that he was going to get back together with Jennifer Lopez at any point, he would have never put that out. Even like, but that's where this almost feels like an overcorrection for that. It's like sometimes between relationships with the person you're supposed to be with, even if it ends, like you just say stuff to like, you know, like try to get over it. Like sort of this just like, yeah, rewriting of history in this way of like sometimes until like your Ben comes back, like we just do stuff and just we go through with it. We even get married sometimes. And it's like, well,
right. Like
okay.
You both got married to other people and had multiple kids with them. Like it's okay. You both were in love with other people. It's
right.
Fine.
And then you both had other long-term relationships. And
right.
If A-Rod
you
was not cheating on J-Lo, there's no doubt in my mind that they would have actually gotten married. He was
yeah.
just embarrassing
and like,
her.
And like, I don't know, if you didn't actually love those people that you got married to and had kids with, why are you admitting it? Like, you couldn't waterboard that information out of me if that was the case for me. I would
not
be like,
to
yes,
mention
I greatly care about the person that I had kids with. I was in love with them. It and you know what I mean? Like,
for everyone's sake.
Yeah.
And well, and okay, and on that point, it's like, as her child, I might be really pissed off. If the story you really want to tell is all that was just fake and phony, for the record, she and A-Rod had combined their families completely. They were all living together with all the kids as siblings, and they had multiple business ventures together. It was as a marriage could be without actually making it officially official. Like,
yeah,
you are telling me that you Brady Bunched this shit for someone that deep down you just like were just like placeholding with? Like, no fucking way. And
right.
I would be so, I'd be like, Mom, what a confusing life you've, you know, drafted me into, where I now have all these ex-step siblings who I now probably shouldn't ever and won't ever talk to again, even though we
because
lived
you're
together.
That you never
Right.
loved them with a $20 million budget.
Right. And then it's like, Dad, it's like, Mom, why were you combining assets and buying sports franchises with someone that you actually weren't really, when it was come down to the truth of it, like in love with? And it's like, that's just bad call, Jen. Like, if that, I wouldn't like, yeah, she's like outing herself as like just a total flake. And it's like,
kind
well,
of heartless.
Yeah, that's the irony, right? That it's like sort of heartless in general. Something just occurred to me, and then we can wrap it up. But you know what? The piece that does feel very personal about it to me is, I don't know if you've ever, and I, what am I myself, if not a hopeless romantic, but I don't know if you've ever been like so moved as to write like poetry sincerely.
Oh, have I?
Yeah.
Probably.
So
I
definitely have. And
yeah,
it's bad. It's bad.
Yeah. I like the guy that I was dating after, you know, the one I kind of made out with.
Yeah.
We both thought that we were like Kim and Kanye, except we were both Kanye, and we would like write things about each other and like,
wait, did
oh
I ever
God.
tell you that that was one of the biggest fights Randy and I would get in? Who's the
What?
Kanye?
Who's the Kanye?
Of the relationship.
That's
and
so funny.
Now looking back, it's like, actually you. It was
Take
you.
Take the Kanye.
You're
Take
the
Kanye.
Kanye. You're the
I'm the
Kanye.
Kim. I'll be
Right.
Kim.
I think Kim's great.
I'll be Kim till the cows come home.
But that's such a funny moment in time, because it was the same thing where it would be like right, we would be fighting over like, because also we were like both comics, so it was like whose lines, like whose bars are better, like we were just like specifically competitive. But I guess what I'm trying to say read the poetry and those bars is that like I feel like the thing about it that is so personal is that she thinks like all of this like imagery and dream stuff is poetic. Like I think like it's like when you like draw something for someone and you're like, I hope you like it, and it's like, oh, and then you have to like put on the wall, or it's like when your kid, sorry Daff, some of your shit is gonna be ugly, like, and we're still gonna think it's beautiful because you made it, but like at the end of the day, that's like what's vulnerable about like kids are, that's why people post it and it's so funny. It's like you think penguin is spelt with a K, or you think, you know, it's like there's something very vulnerable and sweet about like sincere like poetic efforts. And I think that is the piece that feels so personal, like the fact that this feels so personal to her means that like she really was like making art here. And in that way, especially because there's not really a narrative arc, actually. Like, there is sort of, but like not really. Like,
no, I was trying to think, it's not really a plot or a storyline.
None,
it's just
no.
Kind of, yeah. All right, I gotta go because girlfriend needs a baba. Can you hear her talking?
Yeah, she's so vocal. Hell yeah.
Yeah, DJ Dizzy Dev on the double D's.
Yeah, dude, she's our producer, in-house producer now, where she's like, okay, cut it short, it's time for a baba.
And I know, now she's kind of crying. Before she was like, ow, and now she's like, all right, come on.
She's like, already a stage mom. I have issues.
Isn't that funny?
It's very cute. It's very cute.
Chatty. Okay. I once again want to reiterate that I love Jennifer Lopez.
Same, forever.
And I don't know. I just think she's great. And this needed a few edits before they actually shot.
Yeah, it might not have had to be made, but you did it. You made a movie for you, and that's great.
Yes.
Join the Patreon, patreon.com/spacetrashpodcast for you and me alike.
And this one that we have this week is really good. I really think we got into some.
We talked about a lot.
I know. We had some really good tea on the royals that we wouldn't have said publicly. There's a really good Patreon ep. So patreon.com/spacetrashpodcast. Please. I have a child.
Yeah. And I am a poet just making bad art and holding the door open for love. So either way. Oh, wait, that was the one thing. Last thing I'll say. They did throw in that line, like, your love should cost a thing. And I was like, all right, all right.
Oh, I kind of liked that.
I wanted more of that, if anything. But to have that be the one,
I know,
like, reference was like, give me a few of those then.
I liked it a lot because I always loved the song. The song was so good. But I was like, Jennifer, you're gorgeous. Yeah,
it should cost a little something.
Yeah, at least make him take you out to dinner.
Yeah, like, right. It costs the card and the holidays. I mean, come on.
An Uber home.
Right,
I don't know.
Right.
Something.
Flowers.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.